The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
Israel rules out a ceasefire as its troops push further into Gaza. Plus, U.S. export controls put $5 billion of NVIDIA's Chinese chip orders in limbo. And new research finds more companies living in the moment.
Investment in future growth is much less attractive now because capital is scarce. And so companies and then investors are looking for models that are profitable today.
It's Tuesday, October 31st. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Let's begin with big news for AI giant NVIDIA. We're exclusively reporting that the chip maker is sitting on $5 billion worth of orders from China that it may be forced to cancel due to new U.S. export controls. And here with the details is Journal tech reporter Raphael Huang in Singapore. Raphael, the U.S. technology curbs that are at issue here were announced just a few days ago, and they're meant to close perceived loopholes in export controls that were rolled out last year. However, NVIDIA was operating on the assumption they could still rush out some deliveries before these curbs went into effect. Is that right?
Yeah. So 2 weeks ago, the U.S. government, they announced a set of new restrictions on chip exports and gave a 30-day grace period to companies. So NVIDIA was planning to push some deliveries of orders that were originally scheduled for next year. But last week, Washington, they scrapped the grace period, and thus NVIDIA could not deliver anymore without a license.
So in light of that, how is NVIDIA reacting to this?
So right after the announcement from Washington, NVIDIA has said that these new export controls will not have a meaningful impact in the near term. But we also know that NVIDIA has taken a lot of orders from Chinese tech companies, and we understand that major Chinese companies have placed more than $5 billion US dollars worth of AI chips for delivery next year. And this part of orders would be impacted immediately by Washington's new rules.
These are, however, Raphael, highly sought after technology products, though. Is NVIDIA going to be able to find a buyer for these, even if it's not a Chinese buyer?
Yeah, so NVIDIA told us that the company has been working to allocate its advanced AI computing systems, which use graphic chips affected by the rules, to customers in the US and elsewhere. And it's also pursuing additional supply. But one problem is that those chips that they are trying to supply China were modified versions of their high-performance GPUs. So if a customer outside of China have better options, probably one would not still buy the chips that are targeted Chinese markets.
Raphael, NVIDIA maybe can figure out something to do with these chips, but what about Chinese companies? If they can't get access to even these modified NVIDIA chips, where does it leave them, their AI ambitions?
Many Chinese companies still heavily rely on NVIDIA's high-performance AI chip to develop and operate their AI systems. So industry executive analysis told us that the latest chip restrictions are likely to slow China's pace in developing advanced AI capabilities, and probably also force Chinese developers to use more homegrown alternatives. Immediately, we can see that all those big names, Alibaba, Tencent, ByteDance, Baidu, they now have to rely on inventories or use a larger number of less advanced chips or to find other workarounds. We also see reports from Bernstein Research saying that using a less capable AI chips of NVIDIA would lead to a 30% higher cost to train AI systems because it requires more chips and consumes more energy as well.
I've been speaking to Journal tech reporter Raphael Huang in Singapore. Raphael, thank you so much for bringing us this story.
Thanks.
Speaking of chips, Samsung has reported narrowing losses in its semiconductor business amid signs of a recovery. The South Korean tech giant forecasts that memory chip demand will keep improving through Q4 and into next year, citing the ongoing AI boom, which it also said should power growth for its computing chips used in generative AI applications. And BP has missed profit expectations. The British oil and gas major said today that underlying replacement cost profits fell around $700 million short of analyst forecasts, in spite of higher margins on its refining business and strong oil trading in the third quarter. Flush with more than $3 billion in surplus cash flow, though, BP boosted its dividend and is planning a $1.5 billion share buyback over the next quarter. As big companies continue to report earnings, we keep on asking if their results are going to power yet another growth phase for the market. But what if a number of companies aren't even aiming for that? Well, new research suggests that that might be the case. And here to talk about it is WSJ Pro Enterprise Tech Editor Stephen Rosenbusch. Stephen, tell us about this research. Sounds like it's calling into question one of the major assumptions that investors have about the companies into which they're putting their money.
This is new research from Gartner, a technology-focused market consulting and research firm that is deeply engaged with leaders in the C-suite. And it found that while companies, of course, are focused on growth, that the question is what kind of growth? And that's really interesting to me. Normally, investors, Wall Street, are focused on revenue growth. And in these uncertain times, and in this financial environment, there seems to be more of an embrace of short-term growth. Gartner analyst Dave Aaron found that in this particular survey of 211 executives, that 42% put a top priority on profit growth versus 30% for market share growth and 28% for revenue growth. The general message is that we need value now rather than value later.
And do you see this at work in specific sectors or companies, or is this more of a broad change in how executives view revenue growth?
You know, we did talk to other investors and companies about this research, and they kind of elaborated on this idea as well. And in addition to just the overall risk environment, they also feel that this situation is tied to reduced money flows, which is a function of the interest rate environment. And the reduced money flow into certain equity sectors, asset classes, probably tech among them, is rolling downhill and showing up at a whole range of companies. And the idea is that investment in future growth, which potentially may be at a more limited gross margin, is much less attractive now because capital is scarce. And so companies, and then hence investors in those companies, are looking for models that are profitable today.
How long then, Stephen, is this focus on shorter term profits likely to continue? And what will it take for companies to revert back to a focus on longer term goals?
That is a tough one. To the extent that this is financially driven, then yes, this phase will last as long as the overall financial and interest rate climate remains what it is today. And to the extent that this is driven by much broader risk factors, geopolitical risk, economic risk, and technological uncertainty, given that investors are looking forward a bit, there needs to be at least some expectation that the world comes down a bit in some larger sense and that investors can really see the end game when it comes to this current interest rate environment.
And finally, Stephen, what does this mean for investors? How might this change our view of markets and what is likely to be unfolding at the companies we're investing in over the next few quarters, say?
To the extent that investors focus on particular sectors and industries, they may need to focus on business models and operating models in a way that some of them might not typically focus on. So this idea that companies that focus on profitability now can be actually thought of as a particular asset class may be new to some investors, although I'm sure it's not new to all of them. But that's a thought that might want to leave people with.
That was WSJ Pro Enterprise Tech Editor Stephen Rosenbusch. Stephen, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, Luke.
Coming up, Benjamin Netanyahu rules out a Gaza ceasefire as Israeli troops expand their push into the enclave. Plus, a surprise product update from Apple. We've got those stories and more after the break.
The The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has defended Israel's expanding ground operation in Gaza, saying that the military pressure improves chances of securing the release of more than 200 hostages by Hamas. Those remarks came as an Israeli soldier was released from captivity in Gaza, the fifth hostage to be freed since the Hamas attacks on October 7th. Meanwhile, the United Nations has been pushing for a ceasefire to allow aid to be delivered to civilians in Gaza, but Netanyahu said at a press conference that a pause in hostilities was a non-starter.
Israel will not agree to a cessation of hostilities with Hamas after the horrific attacks of October 7th. Calls for a ceasefire are calls for Israel to surrender to Hamas, to surrender to terrorism, to surrender to barbarism. That will not happen.
Turning to the U.S. now, the Securities and Exchange Commission is suing SolarWinds, the software company at the heart of a Russian-linked hack 3 years ago. The lawsuit alleges that the firm defrauded shareholders by repeatedly misleading them about its cyber vulnerabilities and the ability of attackers to penetrate its systems, and marks a significant switch from hacked companies being regarded as a victim. WSJ finance reporter Patricia Kausman told us the SEC believes companies have a responsibility to disclose cybersecurity risks.
It seems clear that the SEC is willing to crack down on what it perceives as an issue for the companies and where it sees these real victims as being the investors. Of course, I think we should see how this lawsuit plays out and basically if the judge will see the same way as the SEC does. So it's pretty clear that regulators see cybersecurity as a major issue that companies need to treat with a lot of responsibility. So we should expect more crackdown going forward.
A SolarWinds attorney said the SEC was improperly trying to appoint itself the cybersecurity police and said the agency's actions should alarm other companies. The Bank of Japan has surprised markets this morning by effectively ending its yield curve control. For 7 years, the BOJ has prevented the yield on 10-year Japanese government bonds from rising above a certain level as policymakers battled deflation and slow growth. But as Heard on the Street columnist Jackie Wong told us, the shift in policy signals the BOJ is beginning to worry about inflation now, too.
Yields in the U.S. have been going up in the past couple of months. That means the differential of yields between the U.S. and Japan has widened in the past few months as well. So that gives a pressure for people to sell the yen and go into other higher yielding currencies. The inflation has already been going higher than their target for more than a year already because Japan imports energy and food. If the yen keeps going down, then that will increase the prices of those imported items, which will make the inflation worse there.
X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, has told employees that it's worth approximately $19 billion, far below the social media platform's acquisition price a year ago. Since then, Elon Musk has rolled out a raft of changes to transform X into a so-called everything app and cut roughly 80% of staff. But a year in, X is struggling on a number of metrics, according to third-party data. And having reviewed an internal document, the journal can now report that X is giving employees stock grants at a price of $45 a share, about 55% less than the price of Musk's $44 billion takeover. And Apple has announced the arrival of its new M3 chip family at a not-so-subtly themed event yesterday that it dubbed Scary Fast. Here was Apple exec Johnny Cerugi.
They're the most advanced chips ever built for a personal computer.
Apple said the new chips are between 40 and 80% faster than comparable chips in the original M1 series, with the rollout coming as it tries to incentivize customers to shell out for new laptops. The company's next earnings update is due on Thursday. And that is What's News for Tuesday morning. Today's show was produced by Kate Bullivant. Our supervising producer is Sandra Kilhoff. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. Until then, thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.